Today's shiur is dedicated for his chus for refuah shleima, for shalom ben bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Nedarim daf pei zayin. We will begin on daf pei vav amud beis at the bottom line, as the Gemara begins. At the conclusion of our previous shiur, we had learned the Mishnah, where the Mishnah teaches us the halacha that if one is made for a neder, a father is made for another of a daughter, a husband of a wife, but he actually was made for the wrong nether. He thought it was his wife who made the nether, it was his daughter, vice versa. We learned that in all those cases, the hafara is not a valid hafara. And as the Gemara explained, as the Gemara begins now, the reason, presumably, for that halacha is because when the Torah speaks about the parasha of being made for neder, the Torah says, "Im b'yom shamay yani oisay." The Torah speaks about b'yom shana yani oisay. So the Torah uses the word oisay. So the Gemara is learning from that dafkahu, that it means specifically as it says, that he has to know, the husband, the father, whomever, has to know that it has that who he is, whose neder he's being made for, and if he's not aware of whom's neder he's being nefer, then it's not a valid nefer. So Karen Oira asks that why would we even need a pasuk to teach us such a halacha? One of the hallmarks of Masechet Nedarim and the concepts that we discuss so often in Masechet Nedarim is that anything that's done betos, anything that's done mistakenly, is not considered valid. So what bigger mistake could there be than you think it's your wife and it's your daughter or vice versa? So he explains that the Mishnah is speaking about a case that his daughter made a nether, and then he found out that it's his wife. And he wants to be made for the nether of his wife. So we would think that since he's showing that this nether is the type of nether that he doesn't like, because when he thought it was his daughter who made the nether, he immediately was made for it. So it's obviously this is the type of a nether that he doesn't like. So the fact that he didn't know that it's his wife, he thought it was his daughter who made the nether, he thinks it should not be considered a valid nether, teaches us the Mishnah that that's still not considered a valid nether. Another text that I saw, and that this halacha would not be so evident from the Mishnah, a teretz that the Shita suggests. The Shita says, what would be the halacha if he heard somebody making a nether, but he wasn't sure exactly who was the person who made the nether? Was it his wife or his daughter? But he has a right to be made for both the nedarim or of his wife and his daughter. What would be the halacha now? Will we say, well, he didn't know for sure, so he had in mind, whoever it is, and he has a right to be made for both of them. So will I say that that's going to be a valid hafara? Or are we going to say that no, since he didn't know clearly who nether he's being made for, the nether is not mufar. And he says that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, and that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, that even though he has a right to be made for both Nedarim, and it wasn't definitive in his mind that this was the daughter making the nether, this was the wife making the nether. He never knew 100% for sure. He just was being made for anyway. It's not a valid nether. Ask the Gemara. We know, Rachmana Litzlan Le'Eleinu, if somebody loses a close relative, he has to do kriya on that relative. Ask the Gemara on his clothing for that relative. Ask the Gemara, Vagabi Kroyim, when it comes to halacha of Kriya, the Ksiv, the Pasuk speaks about Kriya when Shaul and Yonason, his son, died, Dovra Melech ripped Kriya. The Pasuk says, Al Shaul Val Yonason Benoi. Why does the Torah say these halacha, Al Shaul Val Yonason, separately? It teaches us that you have to make separate kriyas for every nifter that you're make kriya for. Interestingly, of course, the Shita asked the question that this pasuk that we just quoted is a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, which is Navi. How are we asking questions from a pasuk in Navi on a halacha of Hafaras Nadarim, which is a daraisa? So the Shita answers, there's a rule that called the Tikkun Rabbanan came daraisa Tikkun. Any rules that the Rabbanan established, they modeled after the way the Torah, the daraisa establishes those rules. So if we see that this is the way the Rabbanan modeled the rules of Kriya, it must be that this is the way to learn the halacha by Hafara also. And the Tanya, the Braisa says, they told somebody, Mace Aviv, that his father unfortunately passed away. Vakara, and he ripped Kriya. Vakak Nimsash Benoi. And then it turns out that it was not his father who had passed away. It was his son, unfortunately, who passed away. Vakak Nimsash Benoi. And turns out it was his son who was Nifta. Yotzi De Kriya. He has fulfilled the Chiyav Kriya, and he doesn't have to rip Kriya a second time. So even though the Pasuk says, Al, by each one, it isn't interpreted to mean that it has to be set. You have to know exactly what you're doing. So the Gemara's question is, why over here are we saying that you have to know clearly whose nedir you're being made for? Amri, to which they answered, Lekasha. This is not a question. Habistam, Habim Farish. Mishnah says that somebody was made for thinking it was his wife who made the nether, and then it turns out his daughter made the nether, the far is not valid. Where are we speaking about? Not like we've been learning till now, according to the Shitas Teres we said earlier, that it's talking about a case where he said explicitly that I think it's my wife's nether. That's what he, and based on that, he did that far up. And then it turns out it was his daughter who made that nether. That's where it would not be a valid far up. And in fact, the Gemara is suggesting, so too by Kriya, it would not be a valid Kriya. That somebody, if he was told that his father passed away, and based on that piece of information, he did Kriya, and then it turns out it was actually his son who died. When the Brice that we just quoted on the top of this Amid says that Yoytze Yidechev Kriya is in a case where they just informed him that somebody passed away, a close relative passed away, but he was not specified which relative. And even though, says Duran, the Brice that we read says, Omerloi Meis Aviv, that's not exactly what happened. What happened was that they told him somebody passed away. He assumed that it was his father, and actually it turns out it was son. In that case, that the mistake was his mistake, but not that he thought that he was told differently. There halach is that the kriya would be a good kriya. And now the Gemara is saying that the same thing would be by a faras nadarim, that if somebody told him that in his home there was a woman who made a nether, but they didn't tell him which woman made the nether, and he assumed that it was his wife, and it turns out that it was his daughter, then the halach is that hafara would not be the case of our Mishnah and would be a valid hafara. So the Ran explains that the definition of stam means that they told him that a relative died. He assumed it was one relative, but at the end it turned out to be a different relative. Tysus explains that the definition of stam is that when he ripped Kriya, he just ripped Kriya. He says, I know I have to rip Kriya, and I don't know for whom. So I'm just fulfilling my obligation of ripping Kriya. And that's where, says Tysus, the Kriya would be a valid Kriya. But if the Kriya was made because he thought his father passed away, not that he was told, or just it was his assumption, then it would not be a valid Kriya. And that would be the same, according to Tysus, by a Faras Nadarim. And that would be the opinion of the Shita. If somebody told him, there's a woman who made a nether in your home, and he says, I don't want any nadarim. He doesn't know if it was his wife, he doesn't know if it was his daughter, and he just says a hafara. That's called stam, according to Tysus, and that would be a valid hafara. But if somebody told him there was a hafara made in your home, and he assumes it's his wife, and then it turns out that it was his daughter, or vice versa, that Tosfos will not agree is considered stam. According to the Ran, it would be considered stam. Says the Gemara, Vatanya, and here, as often in Masecht and the Dorim, Vatanya doesn't represent a question. Vatanya represents actually a raya. Vatanya Amaloi, Meis Aviv, if a person was told his father passed away, Vakara, and he ripped Kriya, Vakak Nimtza Benoi, and then it turns out, unfortunately, it was his son who passed away, Lo Yotza. He has not fulfilled the obligation of Kriya, Lo Yotza de Kriya. However, Amaloi, Meis Le Meis, he was told that somebody passed away, a close relative, Amaloi, Meis Le Meis, Vaksover, Avavu Vakara, and he mistakenly thought it was his father, and based on that he did Kriya, and then it turns out it wasn't actually his father, it was actually Nimtza Benoi, Yotzi de Kriya, he was Yotzi de Kriya. And this actually seems to support the opinion of the Ran, not of the Tosfos, that says it has to be that he didn't think of anybody. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi gives a different explanation how we understand, again, going back to the beginning of the Shir, where we learned that our Mishnah, that every hafara, that in order for hafara to be a valid hafara, in our Mishnah we learned, it has to be that you know who made the nether, and if you didn't know who made the nether, the halach is that it's not a valid hafara, whereas from the Brisa that we learned by Kriya, it seems that you don't have to know, even if you didn't know exactly, as long the halach is that the kriya would be a valid kriya. Rav Asher Amar Kamatar Kedei Dibur, the braisa that speaks about kriya being effective is that he became aware of who was really nifter in the shir of Tar Kedei Dibur. Tar Kedei Dibur is the amount of time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Amiri, Kan Lacha Kriya, and Alecha Kedei Dibur. And right away Rav Asher explains himself. Hadakam Yotzi Dei Kriya, this that we said, that you could be Yotze Kriya, Shnimtze Benoi, when he thought that it was his father who passed away, and it was actually his son, is when he discovered that it was his son, Toich Kedei Dibur, of the mistake. Hada Amrit, Lo Yotze Dei Kriya, where we're not Yotze Dei Kriya, is Lach Kedei Dibur, in a case where it happened after Kedei Dibur. So the way Ran explains the Gemara explained that we have a question from the halacha of hafara and halacha of kriya. The Gemara's first answer was to differentiate between stam and mefarish. And now the Gemara gives another teret which differentiates between noida toikadei dibur and nachkadei dibur. Where, and the Gemara is saying that the kriya would be effective even if he made a mistake, if he becomes aware of his mistake, Toich Kedei Dibur. And therefore, if by Nedarim the same thing would be, if you became aware of your mistake, Toich Kedei Dibur, even though your original Afara was done mistakenly, it'll be a valid Afara. But if you only become aware of your Afara after Kedei Dibur, the halacha would be that your Afara would not be a valid Afara. And so too would be the halacha by Kriya. Both are the same. The Rosh has a different approach. And the Rosh says that the way we answer the question between our Mishnah and the Braisa of Kriya was well answered between the answer of Stam and Farish. He also wants to say that the Braisa that speaks about Tark de Dibur is only speaking about the halacha that speaks about Kneg Dibur is only speaking about Kriya, but not necessarily about Hafara. By Hafara, the halacha would be different. What? So as we get into the halacha of Toich Kedei Dibur, which is a halacha of throughout Shas, we have to know, and this may be the basis of the machloikus of the Ran and the Rosh, why is the halacha that Toich Kedei Dibur, that if somebody retracts Toich Kedei Dibur, Kedibur Dami? Rabbeinu Tam says that this is a derabbanan, that a person who is doing a transaction, and while he's doing the transaction, he sees his Rebbe, and he has to greet his Rebbe by saying, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, he should be able to turn around, and it shouldn't be concerned, it's considered an halacha as if he's still in the middle of his transaction. That the Ramban and the Muki Yosef say also that it's halacha derabbanan, and the reason the Rabbanan instituted halacha is because, as we know in Hilchas Krishma, as we learned in Masechta Brachos, that if somebody is in the middle of saying Krishma, there are certain times that he's allowed to stop Mnei Kavod, and there are certain times he's allowed to stop Mnei Yira to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umairi, and that's why it's not considered a hefsek in his saying of Krishma. But then the Ran quotes that Tarek Dei Dibur is not a din derabbanan. It's a halacha deraisa. The Torah wanted to give people an opportunity to finalize whatever they were trying to do. How do we give the person the opportunity to finalize whatever he does? That the amount of Tarek Dei Dibur, which of course we know is not very significant, the halacha is you will be able to change your mind. It's not considered finalized until you let the time of Tarek Dei Dibur pass. The Ran actually finds the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, and actually the way we're learning, so too is the opinion of the Rabban and the Muki Yosef, difficult to understand. We're saying, especially the way the Ran is learning Pshat and our Gemara, that this halacha of Tarek Dei Dibur Kedibur is a halacha that applies even to Hafara. But asks the Ran on Rabbeinu Tam, if Tarek Dei Dibur Kedibur is only din derabbanan, that means if somebody was made for a nether, he doesn't get midaraisa, Tarek Dei Dibur, period, to change his mind. So midaraisa, the Hafara, is a valid Hafara, or invalid Hafara, whatever the case should not be. How could a din derabbanan that extends what you say past the time of Tarek Dei Dibur have relevance to Din Daraisa? So the Divrei Cheskel says a very interesting teretz. He says, indeed, Rabbeinu Tam says that Tarek Dei Dibur is a Din Darabonon. But once the halacha of Tarek Dei Dibur became ingrained in Klal Yisrael's behavior, that whenever you do something, you have still this period of Tarek Dei Dibur. So that became the way people consider all of their actions. And that became, it's understood that if you change your mind, Tarek Dei Dibur, that's acceptable, even on a Deraisa Digga level. So now, the Rishonim ask another question. We can understand why Tarek Dei Dibur should be valid by a transaction, as we said, valid by Krishma, as we said, valid by Afara, as we said. But why would Halacha of Tarek Dei Dibur be valid, especially according to these opinion, that it's only because I should have time to turn around and greet my Rebbe regarding Kriya? Says the Divrei Cheskel, that even the Rabbeinu Tam that holds that Tarek Dei Dibur Kedibur is only the Rabbanon, he still agrees that there's another factor to take in consideration. That there's one thing that I want to retract from a transaction. So there Rabbeinu Tam says, because maybe while you want to retract from the transaction, your Rebbe passes by. So that's why we say, Tarek Dei Dibur Kedibur Dami, will give you a chance to say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, and still retract from your transaction. But says the Divrei Cheskel, that there's another element of Tarek Dei Dibur, which even Rabbeinu Tam agrees is a deraisa concept. And that is that when two things happen, Tarek Dei Dibur, the halacha views it as if they happened simultaneously. And if the halacha views it as if they happened simultaneously, so then if you ripped Kriya within Tarek Dei Dibur, the halacha looks at it like it was one act of Kriya. Says the Gemara, the Gemara brings a raya to this concept of Tarek Dei Dibur. For Tanya, somebody has somebody sick in the home and the person fainted, and it was assumed that this person passed away, and based on that vakara, the person, the relative, ripped kriya, vakach meis, and then he died only after the kriya was torn, layotzi de kriya. He has not fulfilled the obligation of kriya. On that says, v'amar b'shem ben pazi, omar b'shem ben levi, b'shem ben kapara, lo shanel shemeis, lach k'tei dibur, if the p'tira took place after k'tei dibur of the kriya. Avo b'tei k'tei dibur, if the kriya took place tach k'tei dibur, k'tei v'dami. Then the halacha views it as the kriya was done at the right time, and kriya would not have to be done again. Vilchasa, and therefore the Gemara says the halacha is in all areas of halacha, and as we explained, that we can now understand all the different aspects based on the Divrei Yecheskel, that the halacha is tach k'tei dibur k'tei dami, chutz m'megadif. There's somebody, Rechman Tzlon, cursed Hashem, and Toich Dei Dibur, he changed his mind, it's not effective, and he's Chayiv Misa. And similarly, Ovid Avodas Kochavim, somebody accepted upon himself a statue, or whatever Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah, he said to it, Eli Ata, you are my God, and then he retracted Toich Dei Dibur, it's meaningless. B'Kaddish U'Megarish, the halacha is that if somebody was Mekadosh a woman or divorced a woman, the halacha is that he can't retract even Toich K'dei Dibur. So the Rishonim explain that why by Kedushin and Gerushin can't retract, because somebody, explains Duran, who did this, and actually this is the same explanation by Avodah Zarah, nobody's going to worship Avodah Zarah. Nobody's going to chas v'shalom, rachman l'tzlan, curse Hashem, or divorce. The halacha is that they certainly are doing it where they're sure that they want to do it. And once that they're sure that they want to do it, that's why we can't retract. So actually, these halachas make much sense if we say that the halacha of Toich K'dei Dibur is a din d'oraisa, is a din d'rabbanan. Because if we'll say it's a din d'rabbanan, the Rabbanan instituted the halacha of Toich K'dei Dibur, but they could also say that they did not institute it in these four cases. But if we say it's a d'oraisa, and there's a halacha of d'oraisa, that Toich K'dei Dibur, you could change your mind, so why over here can you not change your mind? So the Ran says that the way you're going to have to explain that even the Torah, if you hold the Deraisa, the Din of Toich K'dei Dibur is a Deraisa, the Torah itself said that you don't say the Halach of Toich K'dei Dibur, K'dibur Dami, in these four situations. Here, Al Gemara spoke about notifying that somebody passed away, and then it turns out that the person did not pass away. The Gemara Masechet Pesachim, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, says that when Rav Kahana was nifter, Rav Yeshua Breder of Idi did not want to inform anybody about it. He did not want to be the one to inform people about that ptira, because the pasuk says, "Maitzi dibuksil," the person who bears bad news is a fool. So what's going to be a halacha? This comes up very often, that somebody was nifter, and we have to notify people that the person was nifter, that they should be able to come to the levaya, or whatever. So, or is the, how do we reconcile notifying people about a ptira with this halacha of maitzi diba? So the Chashukei Chemed discusses this question, and he says that the Isser of being Maitzi Dibur is only in a case where there's no real purpose of telling it to them. Moreover, he says that the Isser of Maitzi Dibur is only when you say it explicitly. If you don't say it explicitly, there is no issue of Maitzi Dibur. And the Shail Satshuva Silbas Chaim from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, Zatzal, was asked by people who print newspapers, and they put in notices about people who are nifter. So why is that not considered Maitzi Dibur? In Yerushalayim, they often put up signs. So again, there are two answers. One is that there's actually more than two answers. One is if it's done for the cover of the mace, that it's mutter. Another heter is that if it's done for not by speaking, the pasuk of Maitzi Dibur, said Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, is only when you say it. Printing it in a newspaper, printing it on signs, is not considered Maitzi Dibur. Also, it's not considered Maitzi Dibur when it's not considered Maitzi Dibur when you're being masked with the mace. So let's say the sign that you put up, the newspaper advertisement or the newspaper article tells us about the nifter and tells us how great this person was. So that's not called Maitzi Dibur. And therefore, it's also mutter. Actually, he says, and also, if it was ready after the Levaya, there are those that say it's not considered Maitzi Dibur. He also suggests that there was a minig that all water was spilled in the neighborhood of the mace. When somebody was nifter, in the neighborhood where he was living, they poured out the water. And he wants to suggest that the source of that minig was to people, they didn't want to say explicitly that somebody was nifter. So what they used to do was pour the water, and people knew when they saw water being poured that somebody was being nifter. The Chazon Ish has a different interesting psak. The Chazon Ish says that if somebody becomes aware that somebody who he was close to died, and he comes home and he's broken and he discusses it with his wife, because that's the way he could calm down, and he discusses it with his wife. So says the Chazon Ish that there's a concept of Ishtika Gufay. That's part of our married life, that we're able to share hopefully good news, but sometimes unfortunately not good news, with our wives and share. And that's not considered Maitzi Dibur. Of course, that doesn't mean that one is allowed to say Lashon Hara to his wife, repeat Lashon Hara to one's wife. That is not included in the heter of Ishtika Gufay. I saw a very interesting shaila that somebody said that there was a person who sat Shiva for his sister, assuming that it was a certain sister of his who passed away. And then he was informed that Baruch Hashem, that sister was still alive. It was a different sister who was passed away. And the question now was, does he have to sit down Shiva again? And from our sugya, that it seems quite clear that you have to sit down Shiva again. Because just like if somebody made kriya for the wrong nifter, the same thing with halacha would be regarding Shiva. And therefore, the halacha is indeed that if somebody sat Shiva based on a mistake, the halacha is that he would have to sit Shiva again. Says the Mishnah. Amra, if a woman said, she made a nether that she won't eat figs and grapes. And the husband says that I'm being mekayim, I'm confirming the nether regarding the figs. The halacha is kulakayim. The whole nether is considered confirmed. We don't break the nether into two. What about that's regarding the hakama. What about regarding the afara? He was mefer regarding to Einim. Einim mufa ad shiyoy for aflanovim. He has to be mefer also for the grapes. The afara of one doesn't affect the afara of the other. And this goes back to a concept that we've discussed previously, that there's a difference between hataras nadarim and hafaras nadarim. Hataras nadarim, we've learned extensively in our mesechta, nedeshota mektsasoy hotakuloy. And therefore, even if you matter just part of the nether, the entire nether dissolves. Whereas by Afara, there is no halacha that neder shofar miktsasai hofa kulay, that if you may for part of the neder, you may for the whole neder. And the reason is because what does a hatara do? Hatara makes the neder into an error. An error, so if the whole thing, if it was done by mistake, it falls. What Afara does is that the Torah gave the husband the ability to be made for the neder. But what he was made for, he was made for. And what he was not made for, he was not made for. And the stipler actually connects this halacha to another halacha that we've mentioned many times in differentiating between Hatar and Afara. Hataras Nadarim is Oika HaNeder Mi'ikara. What Hataras Nadarim means that the nether was never a nether in the first place. Whereas Hafaras Nadarim is only Mekana L'Habah. And that difference also, that the difference between why by Hataras Nadarim it's Mi'ikara and here it's Mekana L'Habah, because Hataras Nadarim turns the nether into an error. Since it turns the nether into an error, that's why the whole nether falls away. Whereas Hafaras Nadarim doesn't turn it into an error, and that's why it only goes Mekana L'Habah. Amr Kanim Tanim Shani to Emes, if she said that I'm not going to eat figs, and then she said another phrase, Vanovim Shani to Emes, I'm not going to eat grapes, they're considered Shnei Nedarim. They're considered two separate Nedarim, and therefore each one is treated separately. Mani Masnisen, ask the Gemara, who's the Tanavah Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanya the Brisa says, Ishi Kamen of Ishi Yefrena, Amr Kenim Bateinim Elu Shani Tayamis. If somebody says that I'm not going to eat figs and grapes, the Kaim Tayanim, and he explicitly confirmed the nether that of on the Tayanim, then not only is that nether, that part of the nether Kaim, the Aloch is Kule Kaim. And I saw Dritva asks, why indeed is that the Halacha? He says, because he says a very interesting approach. He says that since we find the Hakama is relatively easy to accomplish. Why is Hakama something relatively easy to accomplish? Because one of the halachas that we keep on learning in our perek is B'yom Shamay. If somebody just let the day of his hearing the neder pass, the nether automatically becomes confirmed. So we see that is the case, that it's so easy to have a nether confirmed. You don't even have to do anything. Similarly, the halacha will be that even if you were just mekayim, even if you just confirmed part of the nether, that the rest will be confirmed as well. I saw that there are rishonim and achronim that don't understand that. Just because there's one halacha that makes it easy to be Mekayim and Nether, why would that have relevance to saying that if you were Mekayim part of the Nether, the rest of the Nether should be Mekoyim? So I saw a very interesting pshat, as we're going to learn, because the Pasuk says, a special Gzeres HaKosef, Yikimenu, Yokem Mimenu. Even, as we're going to learn, a partial Akama is a valid Akama. In other words, what we're learning now is that maybe our Prisvara, we wouldn't necessarily know that a partial akama is a valid akama. It's only because of this pasuk. Hefa teinim, but continues Rabbi Shmuel saying, if you're mefer regarding the teinim, einim mufer ad she'efa afla novim. It's not mufer until you say that you are also being mefer for the grapes. You can't say that neder shehofer miktsasa hofer, not hotar. Neder shehofer miktsasa hotakulai, de Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva, however, Rabbi Kiva says, harayim ishi kamena, just like we're learning, says Rabbi Kiva, when it comes to Hakama, even a partial Hakama is considered a good Hakama. So too, says Rabbi Kiva, will be the halacha by Yefirenu. Even a partial Afara will be a valid Afara. Rabbi Shmuel, how does Rabbi Shmuel defend himself? He says, Miksiv Yofim Menu. The Pasik by Kiyum indeed says Yikimenu. And from that we learn that even a partial hakama is considered a valid hakama. But no, there is no pasuk that says the word yafira, says that type of wording by afara. And since there is no such pasuk by afara, we can't say that that's what the halacha is. Rabbi Akiva says, how does Rabbi Akiva defend himself? He says, we find that the Torah very often is makish, connects, compares hakama to afara, and therefore makish afara lakama. And since by hakama the halacha is ma hakama mimenu, even a partial hakama is considered a valid hakama, af afara mimenu, even a partial afara is going to be considered a valid afara. Amr Rabbi Akiva, Abba Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Zudiv Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva. These are the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva. Av chamayim, makish hakama lafora. Just the opposite. Ma fora, ma shahefer hefer. By a comma, what you were made for, you were made for. He says, if you didn't do a complete afora, your afora is invalid. Af a comma, ma shakayim loikayim. The loch is a partial hakama, is not a valid hakama. And we should not learn Yikimenu as we learned. So it turns out that we have three opinions. Our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that if the husband was Mekayim part of the nether, then it's completely confirmed. But if he was only made for part of the nether, it's nothing. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that by a fara, if you're made for part of the nether, it's nullified, because Rabbi Akiva says the halach of hakama and afara travel together, and if a partial hakama is considered a valid hakama, then a partial afara is considered a valid afara. And then we have the opinion of the chachamim that by hakama, if you're making part of that nether, it's not considered a valid confirmation, and so too will be the halacha by afara. We learned in the Mishnah. Omna kanim ta'enim. If a woman says that she makes another, she makes two separate phrases. She says, I won't eat figs, I won't eat grapes. It's considered two separate nedarim, and each nether could be confirmed individually or nullified individually. It says the Gemara Amar Rava, Masnisa Shimani the Amar Atsharam Shvul Kalech Vehechad. We know, we're going to learn in Mitzashem, in Masechta Shvuas, the Gemara speaks about Shvuas Habakadim, where a person is approached and he's asked, I know you're holding on to something of mine, and the person swears falsely that he isn't, and then he admits that he lied. He has to bring a carbon, and he has to also pay back what he lied with a chaymish. So the Gemara over there speaks about where five people approached the person and said, you're holding something of ours. And he said, Shvur she'en lecha b'yadi, v'loy lecha, v'loy lecha. So the question is, he used the word Shvur once, and then he said, "Ein lecha b'yadi, v'loy lecha, v'loy lecha." Is it considered like individual Shvurs, or is it considered like one Shvur? So the opinion of Rav Shimon is, since he used the word Shvur only once, it's considered only one Shvur. And similarly, in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon is going to hold, if a woman said, koinim te'enim v'anavim, so she used the word koinim only once, so if she only used the word koinim once, it will be considered only one nether. Only in a case where she said, koinim te'enim shani te'emis, v'anavim shani te'emis, since she said the word ani te'emis, separately, that's going to be considered as separate shvuas. But the Ran points out that we're learning something a little different than what we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shvuas. In Masechta Shvuas, it seems that Rabbi Shimon holds that you have to use the word shvuas separately. And unless you use the word shvuas, and the same would be, unless you use the word koinim, it would be considered separate shvuas. Here we see not exactly like that. You don't have to use the word koinim separately. As long as you use the word anitoemis, it will be considered separate nedarim. And similarly, Rav Shimon in Masechta Shvuas will not have to require you to use the word shvuah. As long as it's clear that what you're saying are separate phrases, it's considered separate nedarim, separate shvuas. Chachamim disagree. And the Chum hold that even if somebody just made a general statement, koinim te'enav anavim shanit ta'emes, it's already considered separate nedarim. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, regarding the case in Masechta Shavuos, where one to say Shavuos she'en lecha biyadi v'loy lecha, it also would be considered separate Shavuos, and they would have to bring separate kabanas, and all the halachas of Shavuos Pekadon would be considered individual if you made that statement, even though you didn't use the word Shavuos, it's for each one.